Cromwell v. City of Moments. Mr. Murphy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I've never been there.
Good morning, Your Honors. Jim Murphy on behalf of Appellant Stephen Cromwell. This is really a very simple issue. The question in here is whether there is a employment that can only be terminated for cause or whether it is an at-will employment. There are four cases that have come from the Seventh Circuit that I think the facts bear on. Three of those, Judge Posner, you were on the panel of. I think what this case is closest to is Robinson versus 8S McKinley. In that case, there was a provision for probation. After that, there was supposed to be permanent employment. What we have is a provision that provides that during the probationary period, the employee can be terminated at will for any cause. There is no reason to have that there if it is at will throughout the employment. After that, as in 8S McKinley, there are particular reasons for discipline that can lead to termination. There are six reasons set out: violation of U.S. law, violation of Illinois law, violation of ordinances, violation of rules and regulations,
He did violate.
Well, we haven't gotten there, though.
Pardon?
But we haven't gotten to that point yet. The question is whether there's a contract right now. What we have so far is allegations of violation. There was supposed to be a hearing. There was notice of the hearing. But, in fact, what happened then was Mr. Cromwell...
So your view is that he's entitled to a hearing?
He is entitled to a hearing under
the... What entitles him to the hearing?
The rules and regulations do.
Well, where? What rule and regulation provides?
Regulation paragraph 18A provides the police committee may also institute discipline proceedings by notifying any officer in writing of any charges it wishes to bring against him or her. Thereafter, within 10 days, the police committee shall hold a hearing. What happened in this case is he was barred from that hearing. It's not a hearing if you give notice to somebody and then you bar them from showing up. So the question is, I mean, that's what he was barred from. So really, and what Judge Baker dismissed this on, was that he found there was no contract. And he found that it was insufficient. I believe what he cited mostly and primarily relied on was the case of Cromwell, which Judge Posner authored, and maybe Campbell. And in that case, the pertinent language specifically provided that the employee shall serve at the pleasure of the city manager. As you noted, that is at-will type of language. At-will type of language also occurred in the other cases that were relied upon, Boulay. Boulay also had a disclaimer. There was no indication of a probationary period in that. Similarly, in Border, which was also relied upon by defendants, there was no probationary period in that. And there was also disclaimer language in that. Here we have both a probationary period, we have no disclaimer, and we have set forth reasons why disciplinary actions can be had, ultimately leading to termination.
But, okay, so that paragraph is about disciplinary proceedings, but where does it say, it doesn't say anywhere that that you have tenure. Unless you're fired.
No, it doesn't. And that's what the difference is between Robinson and this case is the way that the probationary period was set forth. It doesn't talk about tenure, but what it says is during this period you can be terminated for any reason, essentially. There's no reason for that if you can be terminated for any reason during the whole period.
Suppose that Moments, is that?
Moments, yes.
Moments? Is that how you pronounce it?
Moments, yes.
Moments, okay. Suppose Moments had a fallen population and just didn't need as many policemen. so they fired Cromwell. Would that be a violation of anything? Because that wouldn't be a disciplinary.
And that's one of the, no, that wouldn't be disciplinary, but it still would be for cause. And the question is,
but not for any of the causes set forth in the.
That's correct. And frankly, I'm not sure how.
So what would govern that? Would he be entitled to a hearing to show that really, even though the population was falling, the crime rate was rising, and they needed him?
I really have not looked at Illinois law enough to know exactly what that would entail. But generally, it seems to me like it's a bit of a input-output contract, where if it does fall...
The other way to read this is simply that if they want to discipline you, if they want to accuse you of things, then you have procedural rights. But if they just fire you without saying, you know, firing you because you're bad, then not clear you have any rights. Right?
But then again, there's absolutely no reason to have that probationary period. And defendants have pointed to no any reason for that probationary period. And when
no,
you
in
look
the probationary when, period, they could discipline you without a hearing, right?
Oh, it doesn't talk just about discipline.
No, I understand.
I mean, it talks about you can be fired for any reason.
Right.
And that, what I'm saying is, under typical canons of statutory...
Then, once the person has passed his 18 months... If you want to discipline him, you have to give him a hearing. If you don't, but that leaves open the possibility of just firing someone for any reason whatsoever, just without calling it discipline.
That's where I disagree, because of the probationary period language.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Murphy.
Thank you,
Mr. Jacoby.
May it please the court. Benjamin Jacoby for the appellees. Your Honor hit it right on the head. This is a case about whether Cromwell has a property interest in his job, and he does not. Under Illinois law, the property interest is created by a contract. Do the rules and regulations create a contract such that Cromwell has a property interest implicated by the Due Process Clause? They do not. There is no clear language in the rules and regulations saying that he is not an at-will employer or that he can only be fired for cause. Under Illinois law, in the case of Dudelow, which everybody knows about at this point, the policy statement must contain a promise clear enough for the employee to understand or to believe that an offer has been made. Cromwell has to have a promise in the rules and regulations that he can only be fired for cause or that he is not an at-will employee. There is no such promise, and there is no property interest in his job. Moving to the paragraph 18 that appellant directs your attention to and that you have been talking about, paragraph 18 does contain disciplinary procedures, but it does not say that a person can only be fired for a cause. It only contains disciplinary procedures. And if you have a right in a disciplinary procedure, a contractual right, then that does not say that you have a right in your job such that due process is implicated, a property right in your
How
job.
How big is this police department?
It's small. It's a small town.
How many officers?
Less than 20, I think.
What's the population of Moments?
It's around 10,000, I believe.
10,000?
People, yeah.
20 is a pretty large police force for 10,000.
Less than 20. Candidly, I'm not sure off the top of my head, but it's small. And there have not been any new probationary employees in any long time. They rarely hire full-time.
He was hired in the late 70s,
I believe.
And then moved his way up to chief, and mayors changed.
And they brought in a new chief, as happens, and he was reverted to the rank of lieutenant. And he was there for a little while until an incident where there was a report of a suspected DUI, and the police show up at the gas station where the car pulled into and found him. They believed him to be intoxicated. There's some video of him acting intoxicated, I suppose, and the police kind of give him a ride home, as sometimes they do in these small towns. But the new chief got wind of it and brought him in for a hearing and talked to him about it and decided that he wasn't telling the truth. And that's why he recommended to the police committee that they terminate him.
Was he charged? Was he or ticketed or anything for these?
Criminally, no. No, he was not. The officers that handled the situation were later disciplined for not doing so.
And he used to be the chief.
He was, yes.
Yeah.
So he was popular in the town.
Yeah.
It's very small townish.
Yeah.
Yes.
Larger municipalities
right.
Have unionized police forces in Illinois, I assume.
Right. There was no union at the time. There is now, I believe, actually. They had a rules and regulations that set forth their policy, which the town wanted to know about and which the officers wanted to know about. To the extent it created some contractual right, that contractual right only goes to the procedures. And those procedures were followed tangentially. He was given a hearing, although he wasn't allowed in the executive committee of the police committee. But they went in there and talked about it, and then they came out and they recommended to the city council, which was an open meeting at where he was at, and they voted on it there. So by the letter of the contract, it was followed. But there's not a contract claim before Your Honors today. It's a due process claim.
Well, did he ever get a chance to tell his side of the story?
He had a preliminary hearing with the chief of police. The chief was there. Another state trooper was there. I believe there was a third person there. And from that meeting...
Was there a transcript made? Or?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. No. But if the contract doesn't give him a property interest right in his job, if it doesn't clearly state that he's not at will, and that if it, then the presumption has not been rebutted.
Does he deny that he had these incidents?
To my knowledge, I believe he does. Yeah. He does not deny that he was at the gas station. There's videotape of it. But the allegations of the violations of the rules and regulations of unbecoming conduct, of breaking the criminal law, and then of lying about it to his supervisor, the chief, at that preliminary meeting, which was the charge that followed, to my knowledge, he denies those, yes.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Jacoby. And Mr. Murphy, I think your time has expired. We have a minute, certainly.
Just two things. One, he did not get an opportunity to tell his story before the police committee. Second of all, I'm having a moment of debate syndrome. I will just leave it at that. He did not get an opportunity to tell his side to the Senate. I think what you had asked, though, is whether he denied it. But aside from the questions of what actually happened, as part of the hearing, you then also have the opportunity to talk and argue about what the appropriate disciplinary should be, which he was also denied of. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Murphy and Mr. Jacoby.